Welcome to University Drive, your pathway to the transformational work of University of the Bahamas. Our goal is to build a better Bahamas by shaping tomorrow's leaders today, finding solutions to challenges, and forging new opportunities for growth. University Drive, where faculty, staff, students, and alumni travel the road of progress together with you.
Hello, and welcome to another exciting episode of University Drive, the podcast and talk show that keeps you connected to all things University of the Bahamas. I'm your host, Nikki Bo, and today we're diving into a celebration of legacy, excellence, and the power of giving back. As UB commemorates its 50th anniversary, we are thrilled to highlight one of the most prestigious events of the year, the President's Soiree and Hall of Fame and Outstanding Alumni Awards. This event shines a well-deserved spotlight on the incredible contributions of our alumni, who are not just the backbone of this institution, but also key drivers of national development. Alumni play a pivotal role in shaping the identity and future of any university, and UB is no exception. Their accomplishments inspire the next generation and reflect the caliber of education and experiences gained here at UB. Today, I'm honored to welcome three outstanding guests, two of whom are recipients of this year's Alumni Awards, who exemplify what it means to be part of the Mingo's legacy. Joining me today are Ms. Sharon Poitier, the Lifetime Achievement Award recipient, Ms. Tamika Lundy, the Outstanding Alumni Award recipient from the class of 1994, and Mr. Alvardo Thompson, Director of Alumni Services. They will share their incredible journeys, the impact UB has had on their lives, and their hopes for the future of our alma mater. So let's dive right into this inspiring conversation that celebrates the heart and soul of UB. Let's get started. I'm going to start with both of you. Ms. Poitier, well, welcome. Welcome to University Drive to all of you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you. It's good to be on the other side. Let's see what's in store.
Indeed. Both of you, what was your initial response when you were notified that you had been selected as the Lifetime Achievement Award recipient and the Outstanding Alumni Award recipient, respectively?
Well, certainly for me, the Lifetime Achievement Awardee, I was shocked. I was like, oh, they don't mean me, right? They're not serious, right? I just didn't expect anything like it. So I was shocked. Honored, but shocked.
Well, when I saw the email in my inbox, I thought it was an action item for me because I am an employee of University of the Bahamas. So I thought they were telling me that another Tamika was being selected for the Outstanding Alumna Honor. But once it sank in that it was actually me, I was very humbled. It was humbling because when I think of the caliber of graduates that have come out of this awesome institution and to be numbered among those who are considered outstanding, I thought that was just, you know, a marvelous achievement for me. And I was humbled. And to this day, I'm still very honored to be included in such an accolade that's being extended.
Ladies, I want you to take our listeners on a journey of your time here at UB. Ms. Sharon Poitier, if I'm not mistaken, you were a part of the first intake of the then College of the Bahamas. And I'm going to ask you to chronicle that journey, that experience, what it meant to you to be part of the, you know, that inaugural class here at the College of the Bahamas, and for you both to share your experiences here at the institution.
Well, for me, I was part of the graduation class of 1975 at the Government High School. And so the transition ordinarily would have been that we would have gone into the A-level program at GHS, lower sixth, and then upper sixth. But of course, we know that the College of the Bahamas absorbed lower and upper sixth. So I moved into COB, the then COB, at the, I think it was the old BTC campus where C.A. Thompson Jr. I is now. And so I was part of that initial A-level program at COB. And so most of my classes had to do with that, had to do with A-level, A-level history, A-level literature, and some economics. And the way that the classes were structured, we were able to do A-level and the associate's degree program at the same time. And so the transition for me was rather smooth, I guess, because I was moving with my former classmates, many of my former teachers who had come over from the government high school. And so that was the, I guess, the initial transition for me. And I think for us, we had just been 2 years out of independence. And so we were very, very idealistic what we wanted to do for the country, what we hoped that the country would do for us. And so that was the thrust of many of our conversations. You know, how did we make this thing called independence work, not only for the country, for ourselves, for our colleagues, et cetera. So that was basically that part of my journey at COB. It was a 2 year journey. We graduated in 1977 after completing the A-level program at COB, and like I said, we were able to get the associate's degree at the same time. You know, I often lament, well, I often say to students who lament that college fees are so high, and I remember looking at an old bill from COB. I was taking 18 credits. And can you imagine that the tuition fee that I had to pay at that time was $18, $1 per credit. And so that for me was, boy, we've come a long way, you know. But my years at COB were very, very good years. I met quite a number of new people, people who had been in other high schools. And, you know, there was a keen rivalry between high schools back in those days. And so these rivals now were becoming friends. And so COB did that for me as well, broadened the horizon, opened new opportunities, that kind of thing. So I think I'll end there.
Thank you for sharing that, Ms. Lundy. Tamika, I'm going to ask you to share your experience, which would have come in a different time and era, and I'm sure it will help us to see the growth and evolution of the college, as well as you share your time and your experience here at the institution.
Wow, Nikki, I don't know how much to share. I don't know what to go on the record about, and I don't know what to keep secret and hidden, but suffice it to say that I entered the college, former College of the Bahamas, at the tender age of 16. That was about 30 years ago. I was as green as they came. I was really green. I mean, fresh out of high school, Prince William's High School. I was the head girl at Prince Will. And so I was a part of that. I'm going to keep order. I had the mindset that, you know, everything, you had to be proper. You had to act properly. Nothing could be out of place. And so I was very dutiful and obedient, right? But being in an environment where you pretty much didn't have the kind of stringent oversight that you had in high school, it wasn't long before I took full advantage of that. So I did have my mischievous moments, but I will say that out of all of the tertiary institutions that I've attended in my life, being a student at the College of the Bahamas at COB is the most meaningful for me, even to this day. When I was a student at COB back in the 90s, the early 90s, and that would have been from 91 to 94, I shared the campus with people like Clarence Rolle, who's now the Bahamas Film Commissioner, and Eric Rose, who's carved out a path at the Bahamas Information Services. I had classes with people like Hadassah Hall, who's now Delavo, who was in charge of communications at BTBI, and some other people who come to mind. On any given day, I would see Fred Perpall walking across the campus with his T square, going to the T block, or playing on the basketball team while Cynthia Mother Pratt was coaching them on the field. And so these are some of the recollections that I have of that era. Myself, along with my very dear friend, who's one of my best friends still today. She was Dequisha Johnson at that time. She's Thomas now. We matriculated through COB, and we took advantage of what still today is the academic rigor of the institution. You know what I mean? Like, faculty members were, and still are today, very conscientious, and they ensured that the standard that they held you to was a very high one, right? So Marjorie Cheatham, who was one of the lead faculty members in the School of Communications back at that time, she ensured that every student who she taught knew that there was a very high standard that you had to meet. And so when I look back and I think about today and where how far I've come, it's really a full circle moment to have been a student at COB back at that time and to now be in senior administration and to be working along with some of the faculty members who taught me. Because Dr. Marie Sersing, she taught me one of my English courses, and Miss Janice Munnings, who's still here today, she taught me another English class, right? And so, I'm just deeply grateful. And my memories, my time at COB, they are very precious and dear to me.
Thank you both for sharing that and those memories of COB and your time here. Tamika, you mentioned something that will help me to segue into my next question. You mentioned the likes of Maria Sersing, and I was writing down and things were going through my head, so I didn't get all of the other names. But I want to ask you, as you reflected on your journey through COB, can you think of people that would have had a positive impact on your, not just your academic journey? And Tamika, you mentioned some of your friends, but I want to reflect on some of the lecturers here. And you spoke about the academic rigor and the conscientiousness of lecturers and professors. Who are some of those people that had a lasting impact and in some instances would have helped you at that time, at that young ripe age of 16, 17, to identify some of your strengths and talents and recognize some of the things that you may not have known at that time that you possessed and helped to shape who you would have become as an adult?
So I earned an Associate of Arts degree in journalism and mass communications, right? So even from a young child, I was always fascinated with writing. I always was writing something, right? Some poetry or essay or something. I was always writing. And writing just was my happy place, even now to this day, right? And so having a mentor, having a guide like Mrs. Cheatham, Marjorie Cheatham, I was very grateful for that because she did not allow you to drop the bar. She always wanted you to level up. And so one of the highlights of my time of learning at COB was the practical learning that I was engaged in and my peers were engaged in who were in the program, and that was through writing for the Spectrum newspaper. We had to bring the Spectrum out for one whole academic year. And we did that. We had to investigate. We had to cover the beat on campus. We had to do our first drafts, right? We had to make sure that our stories were balanced, that they made sense, that they were grammatically correct, that they were appealing to the audience that we were writing for, you know? And so that was deeply impactful for me. I mentioned Marie Sersing and Janice Munnings, who taught me English, but I also vividly recall my video classes and my photography classes with Rodman Forbes, who just recently retired from the institution. He was in media services here at UB. And who could forget? You could not take government and politics at COB with Felix Bethel and ever forget Mr. Bethel, right? So I would like to say that my time here at COB was my awakening, right? And a part of the awakening that happened in me was tied to the realization and the understanding that my pursuits, my aspirations, they are within the context of me helping to cause my country to be better and to be greater. And you have to know where you came from as a country and your recent history and your longtime history. And Felix Bethel just put that all, forced us all to know it and to have an understanding and appreciation for it. And so you can't, he's someone I would never forget. And of course, also Haldane Chase as well from back in the day. And so, one of the things that I was tickled pink about when I thought about it recently and when I bumped into her on campus is that one of my primary school teachers, Renee Chase, was also working at UB up until quite recently. And so to be working at the same place where my primary school teacher was now working, it was just, all these things just was really inspiring for me. Hope I didn't run on too long, but yeah, those are my comments to that.
Thank you very much for sharing that, Miss Poitier. I'm gonna ask you the same question. Who were the people that helped to shape you? You indicated that you would have been a part of the program where you would have gotten your A levels and associates at the same time, and it was a 2-year program. And you indicated too that some of the teachers from the then government high school transitioned. But who were some of the people, some of the lecturers that you would have encountered that would have had a very profound impact on your life and the career that you were embarking on? Because you didn't mention what your degree is, and I'm going to ask, I mean, well, your specialty. You indicated an associate's, but you didn't indicate the area. So I'm going to ask you to delve into that, please.
Okay, I took courses that would lead to A levels in history and English literature. And there were, like I said, some economics courses as well. But the two subjects that I would focus on would be history A level and English literature A level. The lecturers at that time who I suppose have a pivotal role in shaping who I am even to this day would be the late Teva Bethel, who transitioned with us from the government high school to COB, Clare Smith Hepburn, who taught history, Jean Knowles, who also taught history, Marjorie Brooks Jones, who taught English literature. Miss Thomas, I don't remember Miss Thomas's first name, but she also taught literature, particularly Chaucer, the plays of Chaucer. And so those would have been the people who would have had an integral role in shaping who I am, not only showcasing that academic was important, but also character deportment was also important. Doing well, Keva Bethel always used to say to us at the government high school, you wear the color of royalty, royal blue. So you are royalty at that rate. And so that transition all the way through. And I think it was, well, I come from a family of educators. And so there was no question in my mind, even as a little girl, that I would become a teacher. I used to teach my dolls. I used to teach the kittens and the puppies if they would stay still long enough. So I always knew that I wanted to teach. And then, of course, I was shaped by those teachers of excellence that I mentioned, the Carver Bechtels of the day, the Claire Smith Hepburns of the day. And I always say this to Claire Smith Hepburn, she was and still is my favorite teacher. And so I can thank them for the person that I am because it is on their shoulders that I stand. Also, those persons in my immediate family who were educators. My adoptive mother, Emma Poitier, who was also at the College of the Bahamas when I transitioned there. She was in the School of Education. And so that too helped to shape my career in education. And I moved through the ranks from classroom teacher all the way up to Ministry of Education headquarters, retiring 2 years ago from the position of Deputy Director of Education. So those persons that I mentioned played a role in who I am, and I'm eternally grateful to them.
Miss
Nikki,
Poitier,
go
I
ahead.
just wanted to add, you heard all of the names that Sharon Poitier just listed off a moment ago. Like those are iconic nation building people
Builders.
of just you couldn't, when I was a student, you couldn't attend COB and not feel like you were not in the presence of greatness. And it was really inspirational. I just wanted to add, shout out, kudos to all of the faculty members, past and current, of the institution.
Miss
Absolutely.
Poitier, before you go, are you not also an adjunct faculty member here? Or
I
have been? Because
certainly,
you left that out, and it would be remiss of me.
I certainly was. I was there from 2005 up until just last semester, actually. And so I think I'm taking this retirement thing a little too seriously. And so I kind of stepped back from that role. But UBCOB will always be important to me. I also served for a time on the college council when the late P. Basil Donaldson was chair. And so COBUB has always been constant in my life. And so, yes, I did serve as an adjunct professor.
Miss Lundy, you too. Y'all are leaving out some very important details for our listeners. Because Miss Lundy, you're also an adjunct faculty member. Y'all talking about y'all experiences as a student, and Miss Lundy, you spoke about your transition and coming full circle into senior admin, but you're also having that impact on our students the way that your teachers had an impact on you.
I'm having some kind of an impact. I'm terrorizing students as an adjunct faculty, teaching them intro to news writing. I've also taught business communications. And so, yes, I am terrorizing them like I was terrorized. No, just kidding. Just
Well,
kidding. I am imparting the benefit of what I know and my experience in the hopes and that it will be beneficial for them. And so I thoroughly enjoy it. I mean, one of the things as I was teaching the other night, I in the same room where I was a student in the F5 classroom, I was teaching my students, and I was just standing there having a moment of nostalgia and thinking back to the way that the room looked a little bit differently and how it's transitioned up to today. And like, wow, I was actually sitting here listening to the expert imparting into me. Now I am that person. And so This is what we talk about when we talk about how University of the Bahamas and how COB's mission is all connected integrally to national development. Because when you are cultivating and nurturing the talents and inspiring the imaginations of our young people to go out and to build, this is what it is all about. And so, yes, I'm a faculty, I'm an adjunct faculty member here and working in senior administration, a graduate, and the parent of a graduate, and the parent of an adjunct faculty member. Ooh, yeah.
You, COB, runs through your veins. Ladies and gent, Mr. Thompson, you've been quiet, but get ready to open your mic on the other side of the break because I'm coming to you. And I also want to touch on, when we come back, something that both of you referenced, and it's about the impact that being an alum has on students to want to build a better Bahamas. You're listening to University Drive. We take our first break. We'll be right back.
Chapter One Bookstore is proud to serve the students, faculty, and staff of the University of the Bahamas and the community at large. We are the premier choice for the purchase of university textbooks and supplies, and UB logo apparel, paraphernalia, and gifts. We also carry a wide variety of school supplies, learning aids, and leisure books. Visit our copy center for all of your printing, copying, and binding needs. Chapter One Bookstore is located on the ground floor of the Michael H. Eldon Complex on University Drive. Shop with us on Monday through Saturday. You can contact us at 397-2650 or email at chapter1@ub.edu.bs. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Chapter One Bookstore. Chapter One, the premier choice.
Welcome back to University Drive. If you're just joining us, we're having a very enlightening conversation, and we are highlighting an incredible milestone, which is the university's 50th anniversary. And as we conclude this year's celebrations, we are doing so with the President's Soiree and the Hall of Fame and Outstanding Alumni Awards Gala, where we will honor our exceptional alumni whose impact resonates locally and globally. On our show today are Ms. Sharon Poitier, the recipient of this year's Lifetime Achievement Award, a testament to the decades of dedication, excellence, and leadership in the field of education, and Ms. Tamika Lundy from the class of 1994, whose accomplishments have earned her the Outstanding Alumni Award. Both of these ladies are very modest. If it's one thing that I can say, and I know both of them, and I just think that you are both very well deserving of this honor and this award. And when you shared your journey about your time here at COB and UB having gone from being a student to being a adjunct faculty member, you have been intimately involved in the life of this university over a number of years and decades. Ms. Poitier, you spoke and actually, Mr. Thompson, before I go to them, I'm going to bring you in on this conversation. We also have Mr. Alvaro Thompson, who is the Director of Alumni Services, with us today. Mr. Thompson, you've been responsible for this award ceremony for quite a number of years. Why is it important for us to honor and recognize outstanding alumni who are making a contribution? And may you please share with us who the other award recipients are for this year as we celebrate our 50th anniversary.
Yes, and good morning, and thank you so much, Ms. Poe. It really warmed my heart listening to my two fellow panelists today, just walking down memory lane and listening to all those good memories. Here at UB, we are establishing a rich tradition and culture of honoring all of our alumni here at the University of the Bahamas. And so it is with this honor that the University of the Bahamas, along with our Alumni Association, we are honoring nine awardees this year in our Jubilee anniversary. And so I'm honored to mention all of the nine awardees, honorees for this year's President's Soiree and Hall of Fame Alumni Awards Gala. Starting off first with our earliest class, we'll be honoring in the Emerging Leader category, Mr. Ashley Knowles, who's the Director of Greek Life here at the University of the Bahamas, and Mr. Alfonso Major, who's the Director of Anglican Schools. Then we move on to the Trailblazer Award category. And so in this category, we'll be honoring Dr. Nakora Stubbs Young. She's also an assistant professor here at the University of the Bahamas, and Crystal Rutherford Ferguson, who's an attorney and chief operating officer at the Bahamian Asset Holding Company and former chair of the Bahamas Chamber of Commerce and Employers Confederation. Next, in the Outstanding Alumni Award category, we'll be honoring Ms. Tamika Lundy, who's our Assistant Vice President of University Relations at the University of the Bahamas. And also in that category is Dr. Nakia Forbes, who's the Director of the National HIV/AIDS and Infectious Disease Program in the Bahamas. And of course, lastly, in the Hall of Fame category, we'll be honoring Mr. Merritt Storr, who's Managing Partner at Providence Law Firm, and Mr. Mark Munnings, who's Managing Director at Deloitte Bahamas. And then finally, Ms. Sharon Poitier, who is the sole Lifetime Achievement Awardee. And of course, she's a veteran educator and retired Deputy Director of the Ministry of Education. So those are all of our honorees for this year's Hall of Fame President's Soiree and Hall of Fame Alumni Awards Gala.
Thank you so much, Mr. Thompson. I'm going to piggyback off of that and I'm going to share the years. So the emerging leaders would have graduated in 2014. The Trailblazers were part of the class of 2004. The Outstanding Alumni Award recipients are from the class of 1994. And the Hall of Fame Award inductees will come from the class of 1984. And you said the Sole Lifetime Achievement Award. We heard her say earlier that she was part of the first intake at the College of the Bahamas transitioning from the government high school. So I'm going to segue now. Thank you so much, Mr. Thompson. I'm going to bring you back on so that we can get more details about the soiree and the awards gala. But I want to piggyback off of something that Ms. Poitier and Ms. Lundy shared in our first segment. And Ms. Poitier said that, at the time that she was here, they were 2 years out of independence and very idealistic. And Miss Lundy, Tamika mentioned having lecturers like Felix Bethel and the awakening and the realization that her pursuits and aspirations were tied to the country to be greater and better. How did COB instill in you this sense of national pride and knowing that what you were working towards was to build a better Bahamas and to contribute to the country's growth and development?
Well, certainly for me, like I said, because the transition from the government high school to the College of the Bahamas was such a seamless one. One of the, I guess, the main thrusts as students at GHS was service. You get what you have so that you can inspire others, help others, etc. And so that continued. And when we talked about independence, 1973, we are now in 1975. We are part of that fledgling grouping of persons who are here to help to mold, to help to shape, to help to serve. And so it was simply a part of us. And certainly for me, it was part of my family history, part of my church history. And so service has always been something that I aspired to. And so COB simply concretized or crystallized all of that for me. You weren't doing what you were doing only for you, but for others as well. And while that message in some shape or form may not have been spoken every day overtly, you knew that it was there. It was the underlying message throughout, that We have a country to build, we have a nation to build, and you are part of that. You are a part of that, and do not shirk that responsibility. So I think was the unspoken rule for all.
Nikki, for me, higher ed is, it's like a virtuous cycle, a cycle of education, of research, of innovation and service. And all those things are pillars of the mission of UB, right? Higher ed, University of the Bahamas, it operates in what I'd like to think is like an ecosystem, an environment that feeds it and that it enriches. So there's a huge synergy that's connected to nation building. COB was where I got my roots, right? And we all know that you want to build your house on a firm foundation. So your foundation has to be strong, right? You have to have deep roots. And my years at COB is where I was deeply rooted. I'm a first generation university student in my family, and I treasure that, and I always think about that. And while I was a student at COB, I barely paid. I barely paid because I was on two scholarships. One came from the Bahamas Oil Refining Company Limited, and the other came from Bahamas Supermarkets. And what that said to me is that there's corporate Bahamas out there. There are companies and entities out there that believe in the power of higher learning and that make investments in higher learning so that it could feed that very same cycle that I talked about and that ecosystem that I talked about. Last week, when we had our academic honors convocation, one of the highlights of our 50th anniversary celebrations, our chair, Allison Maynard Gibson, reminded us of something that Keva Bethel said many years ago. And she said, "I dare to hope for a Bahamas in which various social entities, family, school, church, government, private sector, and civil society as a whole will work together in consistent, mutually supportive ways to develop men and women who have the will and the confidence to take greater responsibility for themselves and their actions, and who will draw upon their individual abilities for that purpose." That is a call for us today, even today. And so, being my time of being a student at COB, and even now, all those many years ago, and even up to now, there is an awareness and there is an understanding of what my responsibility is as a citizen of this country and as a citizen of the world.
Wow, that was powerful, particularly that quote from Keva Bethel shared by our chair, Allison Maynard Gibson. And both of you said there was this awareness and understanding of what it meant to be a citizen of this country and this world. And Ms. Poitier, you mentioned that there was this underlying message that you had a country and a nation to build, and that your education and what you were doing, the pursuits of all things good, were not necessarily selfishly motivated, and it wasn't about the I, but about what I can do for my country rather than what my country can do for me. And seeing a greater purpose and meaning into everything, and realizing that you were going to be a nation builder. And I think both of you, in your own way, are nation builders. You've helped to shape many minds, and you will continue to help to shape minds, not just in the classroom, but outside of the classroom through your civic engagement. I know you're both very civic minded as well. And I think sometimes we underestimate the power that we have individually to make an impact, and we underestimate the power of being part of this bigger ecosystem that Ms. Lundy mentioned, that is the College of the Bahamas and the University of the Bahamas. I want us to talk now too about your future hopes and dreams for the institution. Mr. Thompson, I'm going to bring you in on this as well. And then I want us to delve into some of the details of the president's soiree and to invite the general public to attend this event that promises to be a spectacular one. as we culminate our celebrations during our 50th anniversary year. But Ms. Poitier and Ms. Lundy, when you think about COB and UB and the transitions and the various phases of the institution, its growth and development over the years from whence we came, as people like to say, what are your future hopes and dreams for this institution that you hold so very near and dear to your heart?
Well, certainly for me, the whole thrust in academic excellence, I would want that to continue. I would hope that students now and students in the future would have a greater sense of service, of voluntarism. I would like to see, and I've lamented this, so often, the university sits in an historic, liberated African community, the community of Grants and Bairntown. I would like to see in the future a greater cohesion of the University of the Bahamas and the community which surrounds it. What I see and what I witnessed often as I sat in my car in the parking lot, waiting for my classes to begin, because that's another thing that's instilled in us, time and being on time. So my classes would start at 6 o'clock, and from 5 o'clock, I'm sitting in the parking lot. And what I would witness persons walking through the campus to get from wherever they were leaving from to get to their homes. And they're walking through the gates of COB to get over to where they are. And I'm thinking they're walking through the university, but they're not of the university. And so I'd like to see a greater cohesion in that regard. Spirit of voluntarism, you'll be embracing the communities that surround them.
Thank you very much, Miss Lundy. The mic is yours.
I want to echo Ms. Poitier's sentiments on the note of service. Service should be an intrinsic part of who we are as a university and as a nation. No man, no woman is an island. We are a part of a whole. We are a part of a whole. When you think about the state of our society right now, where we are as a community, the extraordinary achievements, right? The gains, the wins, the triumphs. But when you take note and stock of those things that are not so great about us, those gaps, those things that we struggle with that are threatening to overwhelm us, that we want to be back, right? We need to think about ourselves as being a part of a whole. We are a part of a village, or we should be, a tribe, a community of supporters, an extended family helping to pull each other up and helping us to win and to climb higher. And so my hopes, my dreams, I just want to encourage everybody who is listening, and particularly those students of University of the Bahamas, go forth. Go forth. Let your university experience at UB be a testament to and a lesson in resilience and going forth. Defy the odds. Leave the naysayers in your rear view. Don't even pay them no mind. Like if there is a boundary, there is a way forward. Embrace the disruption. Don't shy away from it. Embrace disruption for evolution. Be kind, preserve people's dignity. But remember too that in all that we do and all that we aspire to, that it really should be about building community, lifting up, and making our village stronger.
Ladies, thank you both very much for those very sage words. And the common thread and the chord that both of you struck was that whole notion about service, and giving of ourselves to others to uplift, and to build others up. And Tamiki, you said that service should be an intrinsic part of our existence. And I wholeheartedly agree with you. And then you also spoke about resilience and building community and embracing disruption for evolution. But something that you both echoed, a sentiment that you both echoed, was how do we have a more lasting impact in the community in which UB is situated, the historic Baines and Grantstown community? And Ms. Poite, you mentioned that you see a lot of people walking through the university, but they are not of the university. And I think this can serve as a clarion call for us to really go out there into the community to really draw people in and for them to realize the historic nature. And Ms. Poite, you said that your A levels were in history and English literature. So you have an affinity for history, I would assume. But I think one thing we are missing or that we're forgetting is that as older generations die, there's a part of our history that will die as well if we do not pass it on. And I think a lot of our younger generations are not deeply connected to the history of the Bahamas because they live a different reality and it was not their existence. And so there seems to be this disconnect. But I think that is a role that the university can also play in ensuring that we maintain and preserve our history. We're going to be running out of time pretty soon. And when I think about the alumni awards and honoring our alumni, you know, a big part of and a big thrust of the Alumni Association and the Alumni Office of Alumni Services is getting alumni to give back. And a lot of times we think that it's monetary, but you both mentioned service. I would like for you to appeal to your fellow alumni and encourage them to give back to the institution and to possibly suggest ways in which they can give back. What advice would you give to your fellow alumni as it relates to giving back to an institution that would have given them so much and in some instances catapulted their and started and catapulted their careers?
Well, certainly the giving back monetarily, that's almost a no-brainer, so to speak. But giving back can come in so many different formats. We have young people who are there at the university as students who may need to be mentored, who may need just to see a successful role model. And so we can reach out that way. How can I mentor some of the young ladies that I see as students? You know, some of them may not have had the kind of role models that we have had, and so they may not be quite aware of how they should carry themselves, how they should speak, how what they should wear, that kind of thing. So mentorship would be part of it. And then, of course, we know that students learn differently, and so some may find themselves struggling with certain classes. Offer yourselves to be tutors, you know, not necessarily for any monetary reward coming from it, but certainly just the intrinsic reward of knowing that I help a student. And so that can be a part of give back. You know, and so there are any number of ways that alumni think can give back to the institution that had such a lasting and pivotal role, played such a pivotal role in their development and their best in practice. So those would be the things that I would think about.
The three T's that we've known all this while: time, talents, and treasures. Right? Same thing about mentorship and being a guide. Gift your time. Gift your time. Connect with UB, any number of offices here. There are all kinds of possibilities and ways for you to give back in terms of your time, your talents. Maybe you have some kind of expertise. Help us with the knowledge sharing and the increase of capacity that we're also involved in. Maybe you have some opportunities for internships for our students, right? And then treasures. It takes finances to grow too, you know. Vision is important, and having the human capacity is also important. But, you know, sometimes bottom line, it takes finances as well to grow and to thrive. So whatever gifts that you can give back to the university in that regard. I try to make it a point every year to give back to University of the Bahamas. I am the recipient of kindness and other people who gave. And because the scholarships that I was on, it came from money that was earned from somewhere, right? And so I give back, because when I think about where we are as a country and where we've come from, I believe in our country, and I believe in the capacity of Bahamians to surge forward in an even greater way. And so as I think about the future and the children that my husband and I have brought into this world, I try to make it a point to assist and through philanthropy in whatever way that I can when it comes to University of the Bahamas. And I just want to send a clarion call to my peers, my everyone who's been a graduate of the institution, to think of the ways that you can give back and connect with UB today.
Thank you so much for that appeal to your fellow alumni. We're going to take another quick break here on University Drive. When we come back, we're going to allow Mr. Thompson to wrap things up as he shares details of the event, where people can purchase tickets, the date, all of the good stuff that you need to know so that you don't miss this exciting event. We take this quick break here on University Drive. We'll be right back.
Are you ready to take your knowledge or career to new heights? Don't wait to invest in your future. Do it now. How? Earn a professional development certificate from University of the Bahamas. Whether you're looking to enhance your leadership abilities, sharpen your technical skills, or explore a new field entirely, our Continuing Education and Lifelong Learning Center has the ideal course for you. We offer single-phase electrical, ethics and procurement, accounting for entrepreneurship, stop managing, start leading, dynamic presentations, digital marketing, superior customer service, and justice of the peace. We even have courses on smartphone photography, TikTok videos, defensive driving, and interacting with difficult people. Or open the door to new languages with English as a second language, conversational Chinese, and Spanish in the workplace. Our instructors are experts in their fields, and they're here to support you every step of the way. Call us at 302-4449. Enroll today.
Welcome back to University Drive. I don't know where the time went, but it flew by rather quickly, and we're about to wrap up our show. But before we do so, I want to welcome Mr. Thompson back to the mic. We've heard quite a bit, from Ms. Sharon Poitier, who is the Lifetime Achievement Award recipient, and Ms. Tamika Lundy, who is the Outstanding Alumni Award recipient. As you know, the university would have celebrated its 50th Golden Jubilee anniversary this year. And as we culminate the celebrations, we are doing so with the President's Soiree and the Hall of Fame and Outstanding Alumni Awards Gala. Mr. Thompson, please provide our listeners with details regarding the event, date, venue, time, where they can purchase tickets, and how they can be a part of this amazing event, and what may be some of the highlights of the event that people will want to definitely not miss.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Nikki. And so, yes, as you mentioned, this is the culmination of our 15th anniversary jubilee and all the events that we've held and had this past year. And so I'm happy to say that tickets are on sale at Chapter One Bookstore, located on University Drive. And so you can come in, purchase your tickets here at Chapter One Bookstore between Monday to Friday, between 9 to 5. Tickets will be on sale straight up until the event. The date for the President's Soiree and Hall of Fame Alumni Awards Gala is Saturday, December 7th at the Bahama Convention. And so we would like to invite all of our alumni to come out and attend, come out and enjoy yourself, come out and meet university officials. Some of your past professors will most likely be in attendance. So come out and help celebrate this 50th Jubilee anniversary with us. Also, some of the highlights is for that night is that we will be entertained by the university's choir. And so we're happy to highlight a lot of the talent that we have here at University of the Bahamas. Our university choir will be singing. Also, we have our alumni band jam session will be there to jam all night with us and entertain us. Our host will be Bodine Johnson, a fellow UB alumna. And so, yeah, please come out and enjoy yourself. We'll be having a very special 50th anniversary exhibit that you can come and enjoy, do a walk, a stroll down memory lane with us. And a lot of very good memorabilia will be on display. We also have a silent auction for you to participate in. And so, yeah, we just like to encourage all of our alumni, Corporate Bahamas, to purchase tickets or purchase a table at this event. If you cannot attend, you can also make a donation. You can contact myself here at the Alumni Affairs office. My number is 302-4303, or you can reach me at email alvaro.thompson@ub.edu.bs. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mr. Thompson. And as we wrap up, I want to give our two honorees one final word, and I want you to reflect and share what the institution's motto of knowledge, truth, and integrity means to you, and how do you encourage everybody that's a part of the university community and our country too, to embody that. What is the significance in your mind of knowledge, truth, and integrity, and how should we be guided by that as we work on building a better Bahamas?
Well, certainly for me, when I think of knowledge, I'm thinking about lifelong learning, that you're never too old to learn something new. And you can learn from anyone, not don't just close your mind to, well, I can only learn from this group of people or that group or this or the other. But lifelong learning for me, that's the knowledge part. Truth would be exactly what it is. Truth, the power, speaking truth, honesty, that kind of thing. And then, of course, integrity, making sure that what you say and what you do align, that there's nothing false about it, that there's a pureness, a purity that comes from within, that you understand that your word is your bond, that I was raised by a grandmother who always talked about the fact that your good name is all that you have. And so you want to make sure that you keep that, you maintain that. And so the motto sums up for me what life is all about and what life ought to be all about. Sadly, in some instances, we've kind of moved away from some of that. We focus heavily on materialism and not so much integrity, truth, honesty, and lifelong learning. So I would like for us to get back to some of that, because that's the essence of who we are and who we ought to be.
For me, knowledge, truth, and integrity is an act, is a call to act. It's also for us to cement community and to honor our purpose as individuals, as a community, as a society. Be the ripple that is building up. Let every interaction that you have be one where you are uplifting somebody and we're all preserving each other's dignity. We tend to overthink things a little bit, and I keep going back to being kind. I've been picking up we're kind of trending towards interactions that are unkind. We need to get back to our roots of being kind and building people up. Also, for all of the good that has been achieved within our country and by our conscientious citizens, there's even better on the horizon, and we need to continue to work towards that, work towards the better that is out there. Let's fan the flames of hope, and that one is not political. Let's fan the flames of hope, because we are all overcomers, and that's my final word.
Ladies and gent, thank you so very much for joining me today on this episode of University Drive. It has been quite an enlightening conversation. And thank you for sharing your journeys here at COB and UB, the role that the institution has played in shaping your success, the advice that you've given to all of us, and I wouldn't limit it, and even to and your call to action to fellow alumni, and your hopes for the future of your beloved alma mater. I thoroughly enjoyed this conversation, and I want to encourage all of our listeners to attend this President's Soiree and the Hall of Fame and Outstanding Alumni Awards Gala that will take place on Saturday, December 7th at the Bahamar Convention Center. It promises to be a spectacular event. And thank you so much for tuning into this week's episode of University Drive. It's been enlightening, and it has filled my heart with joy to hear the stories and the nostalgia of your time here at the institution. And we look forward to all of the other great things that you will do as you continue to positively contribute to not only the growth and development of our institution and your alma mater, but our country as well, and by extension, the world. And for this podcast and for more UB information, be sure to visit our website at www.ub.edu.bs and be sure to follow us on Facebook, WhatsApp, Instagram, and LinkedIn. And join us next week, same time, same radio station, for another exciting edition of University Drive. I'm your host, Nikki Bo. My guest today has been Ms. Sharon Poitier, Mr. Mika Lundy, and Mr. Alvaro Thompson. And thank you again to all three of you.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much
Thank
for
you.
having me. Thank you
Thank
so much.
you. Thank you.
I'm Nikki Bo. Enjoy the remainder of your day.
University Drive is a production of the Office of University Relations at University of the Bahamas. All rights reserved.